Welcome to Cub Chat Live. This is a weekly show for Cub Scout leaders, new Cub Scout families, and anyone looking to make youth serving programs in Scouting America, well, awesome. If you're listening to the audio version of today's show, be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And if you're watching live with us today, please comment along in the live chat. Oh, and be sure to check out the audio version of the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, here we go.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday to everyone out there. It's the best time of the week. It's time for Cub Chat Live. I'm Aaron, and I'm joined by Nilesh. How are you doing, young man?
Doing very well, Aaron. Very happy to be here.
Very happy to have you on, Nilesh, as a volunteer on our National Cub Scouting Committee. We are honored to have him today. And today's topic, Champions for Nature. You guys might be familiar with that, whether you're familiar with it or not. I think you'll have something to learn today. We've got a lot of folks already chiming in with comments. What's up, Rusty from New Philadelphia, Ohio? Doug says, good afternoon from snow-covered Akron, Ohio. Yeah, I'm down here in Texas, Nilesh. It's 70 degrees here today. How is it where you are?
It's actually balmy. It's almost 28, 29 degrees.
Hey, all right.
Well, what you had.
We have gotten a typical Texas warm front down here. Doug and Rusty, if you're jealous, you should be. Shout out to Alex from Cub Scout Pack 220 in Lee's Summit. Good to see you. Luke from Chattanooga, New York. I bet it's cold up in Chattanooga, New York for sure. And as always, Tamara, so good to see you as well. The only thing missing from this show is a little bit of Tamara. The topic today, Nilesh, Champions for Nature. Tell us about this, and I'm just curious, you know, what does this adventure mean to you?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking, Aaron. Look, let me just kind of say right up front, I'm a birder, right? So for me, being out in nature is just a thing of joy. I've been a birder for a long time. I'm a hiker. You know, I'm a huge fan of national parks. So being out in nature is just kind of second nature to me, no pun intended. And so when Tamara asked me to do this particular Cub Chat Live, it was you know, obvious that I'm the one who should do it. Having said that, I think as I think about our Cub Scouts, you know, 20 years from now or less, actually, many of them will be in roles and jobs where impact on the environment and conservation and those topics will play a very important role, an increasingly important role, perhaps even more so than it did for our generation and generations before us. So I think this particular adventure, which is one of the few multi-rank adventures that are elective, this adventure prepares them for that, right? Makes them start to think about that right from the beginning. And what I love how the adventure's been created is that if you start as a lion and go all the way to AOL, the adventure builds on itself. So every year you're doing this adventure, but it's building on things you learned in the previous years. And so I think from that perspective, a pack can do this as a pack, even though for the different ranks there are different requirements. And we'll talk about that some more. But no, I think this is a very important topic. Conservation, always important, always has been important. But for the coming generation, it's a bigger topic than it ever was.
Yeah, and I know we've got to some details to get into about the adventure and how it's structured and how it's worked, but you said something, Nilesh, that kind of got me thinking. You know, conservation has been a part of Scouting America, Boy Scouts of America,
Absolutely. Literally
the beginning, you know, when it was first founded in the early, more than 100 years ago, before Nilesh and I were around, there were scouts out there doing conservation work, doing service projects. And the Champions for Nature, sort of the latest iteration, if you will, of that program for Cub Scouts. Real quick, shout out to Pack 21 from the Prairie Lands Council in Champaign, Illinois. I bet it's chilly up there. Shauna, good to see you. Okay, let's get into it a little bit, Nilesh. Yep. As you said, Champions for Nature, this is an adventure, an elective, right?
It is, yeah.
Which is available across all the ranks. So just kind of tell us about that structure and how that works.
Yeah, so if you look at the first slide, you'll see it's one of the, you know, the, not that one, Brian, but the next one. If you look at that, there are really six adventures that can go, elective adventures that go across all ranks, and this happens to be one of them, as we said, focused on conservation. And as I said, it builds over time. There's a, you know, it kind of reaches a crescendo by the time the AOLs take this adventure. So if you go to the next slide, you'll see there are some key themes. You know, the Lions are started off with understanding resources, both man-made and natural, being able to differentiate between them. And I think in that activity, I think the awareness is raised. I think Lions will start to look at the world from a lens that they haven't had a chance to look at before. And so as the Lions and Tigers do this, they start to kind of look at the world from a conservation mindset without even knowing that they're doing it, because they're starting to categorize in their mind what's natural, what's renewable, what's not renewable, right? Even if it's natural. Good example being metal ore. You know, metal ore, you dig it out, you convert that into metal, that's gone for good. You can't go back. You plant a tree, you cut that down, you can, you know, put another tree in place. And so understanding that and understanding the consequences of using both man-made and natural things is a great start. And then Lions are brought into it very gently, but the tigers and the wolves start to think, you know, talk about the three R's. For those of us who come from a different generation, the three R's were reading, writing, and arithmetic.
I remember that.
The three R's today are right here: reduce, reuse, and recycle. And actually, I think if you ask a kid who's in elementary school about the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic is not going to show up. But they will know this, right? And so I think this is why we're introducing the cubs to this concept very early on, this mindset of how to live, how to reduce impact on natural resources, how to reuse to the extent that we can, and then how to recycle, how to best take advantage of what's out there. Yeah, Alexander's saying our ages are showing, and they are, right? I mean, we do come from a different age.
Thank you, Alex. Yes, this is true.
Yeah. And I think that it's a great change, right, that we're seeing right now. So I think that these themes, the Lions, Tigers, and Wolves, are sort of building up to the next three stages. So if you go to the next slide, you start to see complexity come into this particular adventure. So the bears start to think about the three environmental compartments. And as a scientist, this is kind of how I used to think about it when we thought about how to make sure that we're not somehow polluting the three important compartments that we live in, and that's water, soil, and air, right? And so the bears start to learn about pollution, and then almost naturally, they have to think about conservation, prevention of pollution, remediation, things like that. So again, raises awareness of our surroundings and our environment. You start to think about it in more concrete ways.
Now, and real quick, before we go on, if you don't mind, Nilesh, I have a dumb question. And I was told one time that the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. So right. I'm going to ask this one and hope that you don't laugh at me. But this is like there are other some adventures that go across all ranks. If a lion earns the Champions for Nature adventure, they can do it again the next year as a tiger, right? It's not a
in
one-time
fact, they will.
Be that clear,
right? So they stay through it, you know, they will build on the past year and what they learned in the past year. So coming into tiger and bear, they won't have forgotten the awareness building work that went on in their early years. And that's why I love this adventure, because it's sort of so sequentially built. And whoever built it, certainly wasn't me, really was very thoughtful about how to just raise awareness and make them consider more and more complex things as they get older, without losing the fact that the original concepts are really, really important.
Yep.
So no, it's a very, very good point. And that's why it's a multi-rank adventure, right? You could run it as a pack. There are different requirements for the different dens, but you could run it as a pack because, you know, honestly, you can talk to lions and tigers about some of the later concepts of water, soil, and air. If you were forced to do it, I mean, you know, these are smart kids. They will pick it up.
Right. Yeah. I'm looking at the requirements now, all of which are available in the official scouting.org Cub Scout website. discover the, for lions, just for an example, discover the difference between natural resources and man-made items, as you mentioned, Nilesh. Discover the difference between organic, paper, plastic, metal, and glass waste. Some pretty basic concepts that us old folks, I think, you know, we just sort of know, but, you know, what a great opportunity to teach the next generation about these kind of concepts, which, as you said, the difference between taking a tree out of the ground and taking metal out of the ground or something, right? You know, it's two totally different things. The updated Cub Scout program, which has been out there for, it's been a couple of years now, it feels like, you know, simple, easy, and fun to use. So again, this could be done as a pack activity with multiple dens in there in one meeting or one activity, or it could be done as a den activity. It's designed to be used as whatever works for your specific unit. We know that there's some units that are maybe a little bit smaller in numbers and they have a, you know, they all meet together and that's totally fine. You should be able to do that. And for the giant units out there, that's great. You can split up and do it separately. Yeah, very, very cool. So can we get into a little bit of the activities themselves? And I know you, Nilesh, you and I, we didn't, like you said, we didn't write this program. It was written by people much smarter than us, but again, it's age appropriate, right? And the type of activities designed to be appropriate for those grade levels.
Right. Yeah. So the, you know, all of the activities have a learning component, as you might expect. And many of them, the learning comes about through a game or through a through an interactive activity that causes them to even have, you know, basically have discussions with one another and to some extent, maybe even compete with each other, right? So there are activities that are written that allow for that kind of interaction, which, you know, the concepts really benefit from the scouts talking to each other, interacting with each other. And so the when you look at the details of the activities, you'll see many options for doing that. But at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is make sure that they get the concepts without, you know, drumming it into them like it's school. So it's done in a fun way, in a simple way. And for leaders, you know, the activities are written well enough that you could easily deliver this program, right? So, you know, fun, simple, and easy is our motto. And, you know, that holds true for this particular adventure as well. I think it's, you know, too detailed for us to get into the individual activities, but if you go, so Brian, just one more, if you go back one slide, right? So when you go through from bear to weeblows, now you're beginning to talk about the ecosystem, sort of the components of a habitat. So, you know, at the bear level, you've talked about the three environmental compartments. The weeblows, you're now talking what makes up an ecosystem, a habitat. So food, shelter, water, you know, space. And right away, the idea of what can endanger a species, what can put a species under stress starts to show up as soon as you start to think about a habitat. Because when a component is missing from the habitat, then the species that are dependent on that habitat start to suffer. And so the idea of threatened and endangered species, and here the activity is, you know, identify one, understand why it's threatened or endangered, see what, you know, what are the characteristics that show that it's threatened or endangered, and then understand the causes, and then understand what's being done about it, right? So it leads the weeblows through actually a soup to nuts assessment of a single species, which is a great way for them to think about it. As a birder, I see many bird species that are now threatened and under stress. And thank goodness there are many activities going on to try and reverse some of that, but it's not easy. And if you don't have the awareness of that, you're not even going to make the effort, right? So I think the weeblows are being led through that process of understanding what a habitat is, what are the components are, and then what is required for a species to thrive, and what would happen if the species comes under stress. And then finally, the AOLs are talking about food. So now it's come down to the very specific component of the ecosystem that matters to us as human beings. And so food, where is it grown? why local might be better than, you know, manufactured and processed food, the concept of food deserts, food oases, and the minimization of food waste being a way to kind of focus down on a part of the habitat that's important to us as human beings, but in general, to species in general. So, yeah, so, I mean, that's sort of the totality of this particular adventure. And how to deliver some of these concepts, you can have a lot of creativity in it, right? So the activities are written out the way they are. But for example, you take the Weeblos one, you could pick a local species that is endangered, right? So they can relate to it and then actually discover what's being done locally. I'll give you an example. The American kestrel, which is a bird that those of us who were birding, let's say 20 years ago, would see routinely. It would be hovering over a farm field. It would be hanging out on a wire. And today, 70% of the American kestrels have died away. And so what are we doing about it? Why is it threatened? And so for the Weeblos, you could actually pick a very live species that they could relate to. I just picked the kestrel because it's front and center for me, but. So I think it's really well done in that regard.
I don't remember if we gave a shout out to Scouter Craig from PAC 3256 in Ohio. If I didn't, I apologize. Good to see you, Scouter Craig. Wendy from PAC and Troop 38, good to see you as always. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Yeah, we're not going to go through, like you said, every single activity, but I just am going through this. And Nilesh, you may have heard me say before, I'm a retired den leader. It's been a few years. The program was different back then, but when I go through and look at the requirements, it does give me a little bit of nostalgia. It makes me think how much fun it would be to discuss these topics with kids and go through these activities. Just for example, I'm looking at the Bear Champions of Nature. Discover what happens to wastewater in your community. Like, how interesting a concept is that? What happens to that water when you flush the toilet or when you take a shower or when you empty the bathtub or after you brush your teeth, right? Just where does that go? What an interesting thing to learn. Investigating soil, right? What's in the dirt that kids love to go in and play in and get dirty? And what's actually in that dirt that helps plants grow and provides food for everything? You mentioned this with the aero light requirements, concept of a food desert. Interesting. Right. I would like to learn more about that. Yes. Learn how individuals can reduce food waste, right? The idea of, I've been on a lot of scout campouts, Nilesh, where, you know, they tell you, don't put any more food on your plate than you can eat because they do not want you throwing it away, right? That's important. So don't fill up your plate with food and then dump it away, right? What is a food oasis? Very, 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 very cool stuff. Real quick here, shout out to Todd from Troop 601 in Farmingdale, New York. Todd, you're about 17 minutes late, but we're going to allow it because you can always go back and watch these shows from the beginning, Todd. So it's okay. We're going to allow it. One of the things that scouts do of all ages is conservation projects, Nilesh. And, you know, Even a youngest scout, a conservation project doesn't mean the same for an Eagle Scout candidate, right? As it does for a lion. A conservation project could just be picking up little bits of trash here and there, and you have done your part. You have done your best. But maybe talk about how conservation projects fit into this elective adventure.
Yeah. But I do want to touch on something you just said, which is not only. Like you take the wastewater, for example. Once you have the scout think about wastewater, they're going to think about their own actions.
Exactly, yeah.
And so it wouldn't be surprising if they went home and started to tell their parents and their families about wasting water you know, making sure you didn't put anything in water that you didn't want to go down the drain into the wastewater plant. So I think that's the other beauty of this particular adventure very, very quietly, by the way, without being very upfront about it, it raises this awareness that I think scouts are kind of carry away into their behavior, not only during camping or during scout activities, but also at home.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's things that they're going to start to notice when they go on scout outings, right? When they go on family campouts, when they get older and they're going camping with their patrol or whatever. These are lessons that will stick with them. And it's funny you mentioned wasting water. I do have a memory when I was a den leader. A mom came to me and said that her son was telling the whole family about how to turn off the water when they brush their teeth. We must have talked about that in a meeting or something. And she was making, this young boy making sure that everybody in the family understood what Mr. Aaron said about brushing their teeth, which was very, very, very cool. Yes. So
when I went to Philmont, right, one of the requirements was you carried out all your trash, right? There was no leaving it behind.
Right.
Well, if you made dinner and you made too much dinner, now you were carrying it for the rest of your trip, right? Or at least until you got to a camp where they would accept some trash. We got very, very careful about how much we made. Right?
It's not like going to an all-you-can-eat restaurant where the waiter takes it and you never see it again. You don't have to worry about it. When you're responsible for it, it's different, right? It makes you think differently about it. And like you said, hopefully that mindset sticks with them for maybe a lifetime, right? But at least for a little bit.
Right. All right. Let's talk about the conservation project. Yes, so that's one of the requirements for every rank. So if you go to the next slide, and maybe a bit hard to read because there's a lot on it. I picked out just one of multiple options that are available for every rank. So I picked out ones that actually really reflect some of what we are trying to teach at each rank level. So for example, for the lion rank, you know, sowing the seeds of love, this is about, you know, having them make seed bombs. I mean, the term actually seed bombs will be very exciting for them, but having them make seed bombs and then actually, you know, plant them to have wildflowers. This is something that could have an outcome down the road where the den could go back and look at what had been achieved. The plastic bottle planter, this is about reuse, that concept of reuse in one of the three R's, you know, using a bottle planter to, again, make something natural, build something, plant plants. The recycling roundup is an example of where they dig right down into the recycling program so that they understand what goes on in this one of this program. And so each one of these conservation projects, and I could only take one example because just I wanted to fit them all in a slide, and I hope you can read them. But if you can't, it's all on our activities, right? They're listed as activities. But the projects are designed for the right age level. They're designed to really, you know, bring to life the concept that they have learned in some of the earlier requirements. I love how they've been laid out, right? They're easy to do and they are fun to do, right? You know, building a place for bees to survive, right? Our honeybees are under a lot of stress right now. We're losing a lot of honeybees. And so, again, it's something they can do and actually make a difference right away.
Yeah, Alex says that he had an Eagle Scout from his old troop that had a job, I think maybe a conservation or something related job. He said he learned about that in Scouts in the 50s. Yeah, this is not a new concept. I mean, conservation is not something that we've just started doing in the last 100 years. I mean, it literally started before that. Brian, if you don't mind, throw that slide back up again, because I just want to point out, you know, we've talked about this on the show before, but it's been a bit. Those each sort of card that you're seeing there has four items. And I just want to maybe real quick, Nilesh, for the folks who can see, the first item indicates whether it's an outdoor or an indoor adventure, if you guys can see that, right?
Right.
The second item is like an electrical charge. That's like energy level required, right, Nilesh?
Right, absolutely, yes. It says, is this, you know, is this a sort of a quieter activity, or is this going to be a lot of running around and a lot of energy on not energy for the scouters, but for the scouts?
Right, exactly. The third category over there, that is the supply list. Tells you how much things you need. So you can see some of them require three items. Some of them might only require two. There's a couple that require four. And the final column is how much time it takes, right? Oh, sorry, preparation time, not how much time it takes. Preparation time. So yes. I just want to real quick plug that. That's part of the program update that we came out with a couple of years ago and kind of provide you at a quick glance as you're planning your meeting. Now, I'm sure that nobody would do what I did and plan their meeting the day before. I'm sure that everyone watching here has planned it months, weeks, maybe even months in advance. But between you and me, don't tell anybody, Nilesh. Between you and me as a den leader, occasionally I would find myself the day before trying to figure out what we were going to do. And I would love to have had a resource like this that just would have told me, okay, I know we're meeting after school. They're going to be tired. We're going to be indoors, and you can sort of narrow it down. Very, very cool. Lisa, from Cub Scout Pack 773 said they do sow seeds and milkweed seeds in recycled containers. Very, very cool. Yeah, Alex says it's only an hour a week. Alex, thank you for the reminder. Indeed, only an hour a week. But
yeah, and so if you don't mind, Aaron, so I think that that idea of activities being characterized by the energy required, prep time, etc. We sometimes think of them as easy, moderate, and hard, right? And what we are trying to do as a Cub committee is to try and build for every activity three options: an easy, moderate, and hard option, right? It's some dens would love to kind of take on the really hard options,
right?
But you know, the den leader who's trying to decide what to do to an hour before the meeting, you know, probably might want an easy option. So you know, look out for that. As time goes on, you'll see us populating these requirements with at least three options. And trust me, it's a lot of work. And you know, some of my colleagues on the committee are doing a terrific job of that.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate the work of all of those dedicated volunteers, Nilesh and everybody else. I know we just have a few minutes left, but I want to plug one more thing, Nilesh. I know we weren't planning on doing this, but you chose the bear card for clean waterways. That's a really cool, exciting program, Scouting for Clean Waterways. We've done shows on that before, but maybe Nilesh, just real quick, that's something that you can do as Cub Scouts. It's different for Cub Scouts than it is for older Scouts.
Right.
That does satisfy one of the elective requirements, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so that's really about helping clean up a local waterway. So we're not asking you to jump into a river to do it,
right.
But a lot of local organizations will organize a stream cleanup, for example, right? So it's a reasonably safe thing. You're not talking about a lot of water. You're not talking about very deep water. But a stream cleanup has enormous impact. It has an aesthetic impact. You know, who wants to see trash in that stream? But also has impact on, you know, the organisms that are dependent on the stream. So cleaning waterways is, and again, it's not something you necessarily have to organize on your own. You could look for a local organization that's sponsoring an activity, right? An ecological organization. And this happens every year. Yep. And you could probably find one near you.
Yeah, there are, we've talked about this before, Nilesh. There are, wherever you live, there are organizations in your community that would love for your Cub Scouts to volunteer with them and do some sort of mini project, an easy project that a Cub Scout can do. And you can also check off a box as a requirement. It's kind of a nice little two-way street. They're getting a nice set of volunteers and you are getting a nice, rewarding, fun activity for them. I've made us run. We might be a little bit long, Nilesh. I apologize for that. But I know you had some resources and things like that that you wanted to share before we let you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I always kind of talk about the, you know, sort of the Facebook pages that are out there, right? Are very, very active. Some of you are all members of those Facebook pages. So I wanted to point that out. But the very top line, which is the link to the leader resources, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you go to that and bookmark it, because that is the central place where we are putting everything that we can to help you do the job you're trying to do. And thanks for that. Thanks for all of what you do. But so the leader resources are really important place for you to keep visiting when you need something. And we continue to add things to the leader resources. I do have a couple more things, Aaron, if you don't mind, that are not on this specific topic.
Yes.
This Sunday is Scout Sunday. I just wanted to remind everybody this Sunday and next Sunday is Scout Sunday. I also want to just point out that Scouting America would, you know, be recommend that the chartered org can do a Scout Sunday any day during February. So it's really a way to thank scouts and scouters. So I wanted to just plug that. The other very exciting thing that's about to be launched is the America 250 Challenge. It's a Liberty Challenge to celebrate our 200th anniversary. I know Tamara in particular, but some other folks as well have been working on a set of activities that will lead to a unique patch that can be earned by both scouts and scouters. You know, too bad people like me won't qualify probably. But yeah, so I wanted to point out, look out for that. You should see an announcement soon. It goes from this March all the way into February of next year. So you've got a year to do it. It's not going to take you a year to do it, but you've got a year to organize and deliver it. So that's exciting. And then the final thing is next week. You know, the incomparable Sydney Palomino is going to talk about, you know, going out on your first spring outing, or not outing, camp out. So I would certainly call in for that.
That will be a great topic, and I can't think of anybody better, more qualified than Sydney to do it. Speaking of showing our age, Neil Lestrom, I'm sure you aren't old enough to remember this, but I do remember the United States Bicentennial.
Oh, yes.
I won't say how old I was, but I do remember that happening. Very, very cool that we get to be a part of a similar type experience. Alex says, let's go. I agree, Alex, celebrate 250. Looking forward to next week's show with Sydney. Nilesh, before we let you go, any final thoughts on Champions for Nature? Anything else the folks need to know?
Get your scouts outside. Go outside. You know, outing is part of scouting, big part of scouting. Champions for Nature can be taught inside, but take them outside. Like, take them and show them some of what they're going to be thinking about. And, you know, going to a stream or looking at, you know, a cleanup is a great way to bring home some of these lessons. So.
Yep.
And hope you pick this elective for your particular pack.
And how appropriate is it that we're talking about camping next week? Because you could totally do some of this during a camp out activity. Yes, Sydney, and probably I think Sydney and I will be talking about that next week. Lisa says outside is the best side. I agree with that, Lisa. We will leave it on that. Thank you all for watching at home. As a reminder, you can always go back and watch this later. You can also listen to our little show here as a podcast on your way to and from work, on your walk around the neighborhood, on your next camp out. You can listen to Cub Chat Live as a podcast. Thank you for the time, Nilesh, today. It's always good to see you, sir.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Go bye, on, everybody. Everybody. Thank you for watching, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode, same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ratecubchat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/cubchatlive for all our past episodes. You can see us live, except it's recorded, but it was live. Okay, see you next week.